Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question that I have for you that I'd actually literally like you to answer. Not a rhetorical question, a real question. When was the last time you sensed and felt God's presence? Like the last time He spoke to you or just blessed you with His peace or a sense of His nearness and comfort? Tell me about it. I really want to know. I want to read some of these examples. Text me 877-933-2484. When was the last time you sensed Him, felt Him, heard from Him? 877-933-2484. Well, if you've been listening this month, we've been devoting our Wednesdays to the topic of God's presence. You've been hearing a lot about the release of my new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need Him most? Well, we are on week number 3. So we'll do this today and again next Wednesday as we're working our way through the content of that book. We've got a few copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we'll be covering things like this today. Is feeling good the same as feeling God? Is there anything I can do when God seems silent? What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? My friend and producer, Angie Smith, will join me today kind of as a co-host, and together we're going to explore what God says about God's presence. Also, the audiobook. I'm super excited about this. My publisher kind of gave me some freedom to not only read the book, but to add prayers and added inspiration and thoughts. I've never gotten to do an audiobook quite like that, and my publisher's offering 2 audiobooks to give away as well. So there's 3 Closer books, hard copies, 2 audiobooks, and you have to reference that when you sign in for the drawing. You got to let them know that the audiobook is what you're after. And if you're interested to find the audiobook, you can find them wherever audiobooks are sold: Audible, Apple Books, Google Books, Libro.fm, etc. Quick announcement before I welcome Angie on the show. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, which our listening audience is growing by leaps and bounds, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. Welcome, first of all. We would love to get a welcome packet in your hands, and we're never going to send things unsolicited. So you got to ask for that, right? But you get it for free, and there's some great information in there. Go to myfaithradio.com and just request one. We'll get one into your hands as soon as we can. All right. Angie Smith, producer extraordinaire, woman of God, host of the Reading Together Bible podcast, and precious friend of mine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's fun.
I think I should write your bio for you. I just realized I rattled that off just right in my head.
Yeah, you
did. Isn't that amazing?
Well done. It's like you did it for a job.
Yeah. I can think of so many things to say about you. So we're going to talk about several things. So we're going to draw from 3 chapters, chapter 5, 6, 7. I want to just read the chapter titles, friends, so you know what's ahead. Chapter 5 is God lavishes grace. You can't earn what you need most. Chapter 6, God offers life. Take Him at His word. We're going to really explore the life God offers, the abundant spilling over life that God offers. And then 3rd is chapter 7, God sometimes seems silent. Discern the reason for your season. What do you do when God seems silent? So, Angie, I'm going to start by talking about this dream that I share at the open of chapter 5. But my qualifier here is some people are going to think God doesn't speak in dreams. And, you know, I'll just beg to differ. I know that seems weird. And as someone who's battled insomnia my whole life, and God's brought me through so much, and I've come a long way. Years ago, when Kevin and I were reading the scripture together, and we noticed how God was speaking in dreams, and He has a lot to say about the night hours. Even at night, my heart instructs me, you grant sleep to those you love. And then there's evidences of stories, or instances, I should say, when God spoke in a dream. So I want my hours in the night to be redeemed by God. I don't want the enemy stealing from me. If God wakes me up to pray, fine. Otherwise, I want a dream where He speaks to me. So those are things we've been contending for a long time. And I will admit my hubby gets vivid dreams that are like, we write them down and we are instructed. I can't even tell you how often that happens. That doesn't happen as often for me. But I did have a dream that I write about in this chapter. And so in the dream, I was at this like camp or resort of some kind, and I wasn't on staff, but I felt totally at home in this place. I knew my way around the camp, and I just spilled over with joy at the thought of being there. I just felt like I was among my people. And suddenly a group of newbies, they filed in and they sat down at this long table, kind of a restaurant place at this camp. And it had like this up north feel, if you picture varnished logs for benches, that kind of thing. And since there were no staff members available, I grabbed some menus and some program information. I thought, I'll just step up. I know my way around here, and I'm so happy to be here and can't wait for them to experience this place. And I wanted to make sure everybody had what they needed. So I welcomed them. I gave them the rundown on the time at the camp, and I took their drink orders. One wanted an iced tea, another a club soda, and so on and so forth. Now, here's the part that makes me laugh. I was so happy in the dream that when I walked away from the table to retrieve all the drink orders, I pushed off one of the tables and I did this dancer pirouette. My leg went in the air and I did a little twist flip. Then I kicked my leg high and did a whole full back flip. Then like a ninja gymnast athlete, I bounced from table to table and executed flips and twists with grace and strength. I mean, I was in my element. I felt strong, healthy, joyful. There was music in the background. Everybody was happy to be there. And simultaneously, at one point, I kicked my leg high in the air. And then I saw my reflection in this rickety old mirror on this wall at the far end of the room. And this darkened glass kind of rippled this distorted reflection back to me. And I couldn't even believe what I saw. I looked weak and out of shape, and my high kick was an embarrassment. I stopped my joyful dancing, was all at once negatively self-aware. And I wondered, is this what I really look like? But then something deeper roared within me. That mirror lies. It's not telling the truth, I thought. I know I kicked my leg high in the air and landed with great strength. I felt it. I was there. I saw it. And I woke up from the dream. And this is what my friend Lynn said. She said, Susie, this is such a picture of what happens when we move in the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were your best self in the dream, serving among your people, the ones God has assigned to you. You are joyful and strong because God is the strength of your heart, and he's healed you in so many ways. His spirit is alive in you, and it allows you to be the best version of who he created you to be. The way you danced and leaped between the tables fits who you are and how you are. The rickety mirror on the far wall represents an outdated perspective of yourself. And friend, you got to hear this because this was not just for me. She said, Susie, you'll never fulfill all of God's highest purposes for you if you're taking your cues from your own perspective of yourself. But as you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll fill you, give you joy, and empower you to do everything he's created you to accomplish. Where you fix your gaze makes all the difference. As you often say to me, God gets to decide what's true about you, since he's the one who made you. I love that. And Chip Ingram wrote this, the best way to get these identity truths into our hearts is to replace our warped mirrors and beliefs with the truth of God's word. Most of us carry plenty of misbeliefs about our own value, forgetting how much God sacrificed for our redemption and freedom. And I would say this is not a straight line, and this is not a once and done thing. And what does identity have to do with grace? It's everything. And we're going to unpack that in a few minutes. But I just want to pause here and just challenge you to think about when you're stirred up, when the enemy pokes at those unhealed areas, don't look down, don't frown, don't fret, look up and whisper a prayer, because God wants to lead you into new levels of freedom. And Dr. Rob Reamer, I've had him on the show, I think a couple times. We got him scheduled for a few more times ahead. He says that, you know, that when we read that the truth will set us free, he said the truth in and of itself won't set you free. That truth just being out there, the absolute truth. He said, if you read the context of what Jesus said, those who hold fast to my truth, that's my paraphrase, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And he says, the truth will only set you free when you're imprinting it on your soul. When the lies are vying for position in your soul, when the enemy's coming in and trying to break up and take up residence and shake up your foundation, you know that feeling, don't you? When the narrative around your pain, your insecurities is so negative that it turns your gut into knots, you forget that you're graced, you forget that you're loved, and suddenly you think, I'm a have-not. This situation will never get better. I wonder what people are thinking about me. All these self-destructive thoughts that make you spiral into the ditch. He said, at that moment, when these lies are vying for position in your soul, that's that moment that you imprint the truth. That's how you get it built in and baked into your foundation. And I love this dream so much because I think it's a picture of when each of us are our inner element, when you're with your people, when you're in your sphere of influence, and you're flying. You know, that's not to say you don't have trouble, but it's like you can deal with the trouble because you're in your sweet spot. But I think we all, if we're not careful, have outdated opinions of ourselves. And maybe in certain areas of our life, we have an updated one, but in other areas, we have an outdated one. And Angie, I'm thinking about you. You know, when you had a different job under the umbrella of Northwestern Media, and I think that job ended, if I remember right. You'll have to correct me. But but then the Lord God opened up a door at Faith Radio, and Neil Stabum, what hooked his interest, first of all, he loved you because you're just delightful, but that you had done some podcasting on your own. We needed a producer. You hadn't even done production work, but he's like, I like her, and she's done a podcast. Well, that opened the door to, I can't even believe what God has done with you at Faith Radio. And I look at this dream, I feel like I'm watching you do that in your job and in your life. And I've heard you say, I have the job I've always wanted, but never... Well, how did you,
I have the job I didn't know I always wanted.
There you go. So speak to that. As you're hearing me share this dream and just some thoughts, what comes to your mind?
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking that this relates a lot to the conversation we were having about the importance of letting the Bible inform how we see God, not our experiences. And I think it's the same for us. Yes. We need what He has said about us inform our identity, not the experiences that we've been having. And what you're referring to is, I was working for one of our sister stations and my job was eliminated because there were just like structural changes. And Kim Sanders said they were interviewing somebody and she said she heard herself say, you know, Angie has a podcast. And so then Neil reached out to me and that's how the conversation started. And I am a recovering self-sabotager. And so my first response was, I can't do that. No way. I'm not even going to walk through that door. And I thought, Neil Stabum, who... You know, I'm an alum of the University of Northwestern. I've been listening to Faith Radio. Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He was one of the voices of Faith Radio that I was aware of. And so I thought, I am not going to self-sabotage here. I'm going to walk through that door. And it made me nauseous. I mean, through the whole process. And yeah, God has done, you know, I'm not usually someone who likes to do things when I don't know what I'm doing, and especially in front of people. And I came into a job in radio having taught myself how to do my podcast through Google and YouTube, but not really understanding radio. And so I came in with a lot to learn and had to learn it on the job. But what I marveled at is that I was not insecure about what I didn't know, which was that was God. Then I knew that God was in it with me because of... that I was able to continue to walk forward. But there was a lot to learn, and I had to continually remind myself, I don't know everything, but I can learn just about anything.
Yes. Yes. I don't know everything, but I can learn just about anything. We're going to pause here, but one of your assignments then, friend, right now, I'm asking you to ask God, Father, show me if I have any outdated opinions of myself. Do I have a snapshot of me back when? Am I still interpreting my present story from a past time narrative? You know, I talk a little bit about the enemy wants us to accumulate all our sorrows and sit in them, like take them all from way back when and say, this has been my life. But this is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. It's our story. It's our song. He's been faithful and He'll be faithful again. So I dare you to ask Him, Father, do I have an outdated opinion of myself? I want Your word, I want Your voice, Your breath to inform not only who I am, but how I see myself. We're drawing from my book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. We got a few copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. This is from a listener. This morning, I knew the familiar presence of the Spirit when I knew I had given a particular thing in my life too much power, needed to realign myself with Jesus as my Lord over everything else. Oh, it just jumped. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. He gently led me to repentance and back in line. It's the same Spirit that picked me up off the floor after a bout of alcohol poisoning, told me I'd been living to die with my drinking and numbing behaviors, and said, I have come that you might have life. I am rescuing you, my dear child. He immediately freed me from alcohol after years of addiction and brought me under the care of the amazing holistic healthcare practitioner whom I've worked for 3 years. I'm free and still getting better and healing on levels, all levels I never thought possible. Praises for the very real presence of God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Susie Larson here. Susie Larson Live. My producer and friend Angie Smith joins me today every Wednesday for this month. So this is number 3. Next week is number 4. Then we'll be done. But we're working our way through my content, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? He's closer than your next breath. And at the open, we are sharing about a dream that I share in chapter 5 about just what it means to be in your sweet spot. Because, you know, God's presence changes everything. And as you get a revelation about who you are and who he is, it'll affect the choices you make. Like Angie, you were saying, you know, self-sabotage is so common when we're believing the lie over the truth. Mm-hmm. But then there are reputable people in your circle that you dare to trust them over your own sense of self. And to watch you in your element and really use your gifts that you didn't know you had inspires more faith in me. I'm going to just read some excerpts and let's just see where God takes us. Angie and I are both, neither of us are wing it people. We don't wing anything. We plan hard. We train hard. We practice. We do what we need to do. But we both didn't have a full sense of having our arms around where God was going to take us today. But when you're like that, we're not irresponsible people. And he has you in a position of such deep dependence. It makes me believe that God wants to do something really precious here. So I'm just going to read a little bit, and I think we'll play a prayer, and then we'll keep moving. God's presence is God's grace. That we get to serve him with gifts he entrusts to us is a profound privilege. That we can enter his presence with boldness and thanksgiving, knowing he's glad to see us, is an unmerited gift of favor. That we can stumble into his presence with a broken heart and a runny nose from crying hours is a treasure we can't fully fathom. We'll never find our Father exasperated by our weaknesses. We'll always find our Abba, that he pours his glory and his strength into those places we'd rather hide. Does it feel contradictory to rightly revere God and bumble into his presence with our messy selves? Grace allows us to be who we are before a most holy God, and that same grace empowers us to see him for who he really is, the star-breathing creator of the universe, who's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-majestic, and all-in-all when it comes to you. There'll be moments when his awesomeness drops you to your knees and you'll see him in a way that makes you tremble. There'll be other times when he moves in close, right when you're in the middle of your self-berating thoughts. He'll lift your chin, breathe life into your weary soul, and remind you to take your cues from him. Could we be more blessed? We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not a result of all kinds of striving or performing. So no one can boast about being a part of God's royal family. We've been grafted into a royal lineage because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We receive because we believe. But it's Jesus who paid the price, won the war, and set the captives free. He paid for our freedom, secured our eternity. There's not a Christian on the planet who earned their way. We're saved by grace through faith. What a gift. And you pulled a clip from the audiobook titled Jesus, Our Great Shepherd. And the reason I love this, I wrote a little story about a wandering sheep, thinking of that hymn, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. But Angie, I know you would agree, before you play, you can comment on this, but there's more than one way to wander. Some wander into the ditch of decadent, self-destructive sin, but others wander in the way of striving. You know, oftentimes in media, you'll hear someone, if a high-profile Christian leader messes up and, you know, stumbles into sin, people will say they fell from grace. But that really is not the accurate description, because Paul describes a fall from grace opposite of that. A person who falls from grace actually starts striving in their own strength to rebuild the structure that grace tore down. We're trying to earn our way. That's a fall from grace, is when we try to earn what Jesus so valiantly paid for. So I'd love just a couple thoughts from you on grace, and then play Jesus, Our Good Shepherd. I know we're coming up to the break here.
Yeah, I Yep, I totally get everything that you're talking about. The striving, the wanting to contribute to our salvation, to contribute to being justified, to be in His presence, is something that I think that I've struggled with. And you know, it was funny when I was reading that story, I thought of that hymn right away. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Because, you know, when I think about God in silence, I think about my silence to God when I'm not communicating with Him and He wants to communicate with me. But I love that He goes and He searches for the one.
He sure does. Let's listen in. Jesus, our great shepherd. I love grace stories, parables that describe God's lavish love for us, word pictures that convey our profound need for Him. Here's one such story. There once was a shepherd whose life work was to care for his sheep. He loved them all, even the little lamb who was especially prone to wander. One day, the little lamb distractedly meandered from the group and lost her sense of direction. She looked back to see if anyone had followed her just as she stepped right into a bush of thickets and thorns. She twisted and turned and tried to break free, but it only made things worse. Pain pierced her skin. Trickles of blood spilled down her coat. Panicked, she jerked her leg back hard and heard a snap. Tears escaped her eyes as she trembled in misery and crumpled into a heap. She cried out for help, but no one came to her rescue. Exhausted from it all, she fell asleep. Suddenly, she felt a gentle hand on her head. She looked up, and it was her shepherd. He smiled tenderly at her. He untangled her from the thickets. Then he carried her across his shoulders back to the fold with great compassion and care. She spent most days nestled across his shoulders in the weeks that followed while the shepherd tended the sheep. His gentle strength comforted her. The power of his steps assured her. She noticed how often he laughed and enjoyed his little lambs. She grew especially attached to the shepherd and wondered why she so often wandered from him. Near to her shepherd was where she always was meant to be. I would say I was the little lamb in that story. My wandering heart led me to strive in my own strength to earn my way and prove my worth. Even though I knew in my head, I knew Christ had paid the price. But I don't think I'm alone in this struggle. And I don't believe that God sends us diseases and hardships to teach us a lesson. He allows troubles so He can redeem us in them and give us a deeper understanding of how desperately we need Him. You think about grace that empowers. For every time the enemy managed to harass or steal from us, we've received 1,000 graces from God. Consistent new morning mercies, faithfulness at night, the living Word of God at our fingertips, food on our table, friends to call when we need them, worship music to usher us into God's presence, moments of solitude to reflect on His words to us, the simple joys of journeying with God and the assurance that we'll never walk alone, a beautiful walk along the trails, a sleigh ride through the snow, that one Christmas morning when you were all together for the holiday, the privilege of partnering with God on earth, and the promise that we'll prevail through our battles. A day that turned out surprisingly well. And that one catastrophe that you miraculously avoided. The Holy Spirit's continual work within you and the promise of transformation all around you. The idea that God would confide in you and tell you things you'd otherwise never know. You've got guardian angels to guard and guide and intervene even when you're not aware. Answers to prayer you've long forgotten but God remembers. The ironclad promise that Jesus has forgotten and forgiven all your sins. You are a child of God. When you see Him, you won't remember your hardships because you'll be caught up in the wonder of His goodness. That day is coming, friend. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We have an interesting day today. Maybe that's not the word. We've got a unique day. We've been dedicating our Wednesdays for this month to walk through the content of my new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need Him most? My producer, Angie Smith, is joining me kind of as a co-host as we just discuss topics from the book. We've been talking a bit about grace, the grace that empowers, the grace that saves us, and the millions of graces that God imparts to us when we don't even realize it. But if we can open the eyes of our heart, if we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us see what He sees and help us to know what He knows, because He wants to confide in those of us who fear Him. He wants to tell us things we don't know. We will walk in a fresh revelation and a fresh assurance that we really are children of God. Now, in chapter 6, it's all about God offers life. And I'm just going to read a little bit, and Angie, we can talk about it. But just the idea of, if you remember, my friend Maria talked about how there's a pattern of theft in everybody's life. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he starts when we're children. And he conditions us to believe his lies so that it's easy for him to march in and steal and leave before we ever know what's been stolen. And I asked the question in the book, it's like, if you don't know what God has won for you and promised you, how will you know when it's been stolen? So here's an excerpt, and then Angela will just keep talking here. How do we recover what's been lost? Do we hold out till heaven, bide our time until then? Or are there things God wants to restore in the here and now? I believe heaven will take our breath away. We'll experience a sensory explosion that our finite minds cannot imagine. We'll see Jesus face to face in all of his glory. We'll breathe heaven's crisp, clean air, and our hearts will come alive with freedom and love. We'll suddenly be free from all that enemy opposition and irritation. We'll dance for joy, be amazed at all Jesus won for us. We'll be reunited with loved ones and reconciled with old friends. We'll enjoy a feast of epic proportions and unhindered fellowship with God's people. We'll realize that Jesus was so much more excellent than we knew and far kinder than we imagined. Oh, what a day it'll be. But right here and now, we do feel pain. We get hurt. The enemy steals from us, though God has made a promise to us. Do we have a say in the matter? Can we lay hold of things that God has promised but the enemy has stolen? Do we even know what God has promised us? How many of us have thought that salvation only applies to our eternal destiny? If it were only that, it would be a marvelous gift. It'd be everything. But the word saved in Ephesians 2:10, 2:8, 9, and 10 implies far more than many of us have understood. Here's the familiar passage that we use when we're speaking of saving faith. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things we've done, so none can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The Greek word translated as saved in this passage is sozo, and it means this: to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger, to rescue, and to deliver from the penalties of judgment. I think this passage beautifully reflects the way Jesus lived during his days on earth. He cares deeply about the human condition. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick, delivered the oppressed, preached that the kingdom of God was at hand. He came to heal hearts, save souls, and destroy the devil's work. He came to set captives free and mobilize each of us into someone we never dreamed we could be. He bore our sin and shame, and he gave us his glory and grace by taking our place. He paid our debt, allowing us to be grafted into the royal family. He makes beauty out of ashes. He brings songs out of sorrow. He gives gladness where there's sadness. He gives joy, inspires hope, and calls us to faith. So we've established that the devil is all about theft. John 10:10 reminds us that Jesus is all about life. A life of abundance isn't the same as a health and wealth gospel. I've been dirt poor and I've had money in the bank, and it wasn't until my soul was set free that I realized the enemy had no claim on me. You can't buy what Jesus offers for free. You can't jump high enough to earn it or grab it, or perform well enough to deserve it. The kind of peace and wholeness and freedom Jesus won is a supernatural gift that defies our circumstances that we possess by faith. Max Lucado wrote this: "You are an heir with Christ of God's estate. He has placed in his spirit your heart as a down payment. What God said to Joshua, he says to you, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, but you must possess it. You must deliberately receive what God so graciously gives." Okay, Angie, what I want to talk about is just the idea that life is hard because we have a thief, but life is precious because we have a Savior. And living in that messy place of not blaming God for the enemy's thievery, but not sitting passively and not contending for the things God has promised us. And I'd love to know what you've learned about John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come, Angie, that you have an abundant life. What does abundant life living look like to you? How have you navigated the theft in your life? I mean, what do you know about God after all these years of walking with him?
Well, it was interesting that you covered this verse because my brother-in-law passed away recently and my sister asked me to speak at his service. And there were going to be many people there that don't regularly go to church. So I thought, oh, Psalm 23, I'll read Psalm 23 because that's familiar to people. Talked about Jesus being the good shepherd. And then I was thinking about this John 10:10. And then if you go on, it says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. A hired hand will run. When he sees a wolf coming, he will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flocks. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for money and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I will sacrifice my life for my sheep. And so I've been sitting in this. I mean, I'm so glad that we're talking about Jesus as the shepherd today because it's time and again him coming back to me and reminding me of the gift. You know, when you were talking about what saved really means in that Ephesians passage, that it's sozo, it's to make well, it's to heal, it's to make whole. You know, we would say, why am I totally blanking on the shalom in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. And to remember the gift that he's given, that it's not just salvation as delivery from the penalty of judgment, but it's wholeness. It's life with him. And so, you know, Jesus said in this life, you will have trouble. Not maybe, not might, you will have trouble, but take heart, I am with you. And so it's that presence, that withness that has always gotten me through. I remember when we were experiencing our first of four miscarriages and I knew there was no heartbeat. So we knew the baby had died and we had to wait to deliver the baby. And I remember experiencing God's presence with me in a way that I didn't quite understand and saying to him, you know, I know that you're with me, God, and I want you to like take this and use this. Use this so it's not just pain for pain's sake, that it's pain for a purpose. And I really think that that's what he's about. We are going to have trouble. We are going to have pain and hurt in this life. And I think you're right. I don't think that he causes it. You know, the way that I imagine it is that it at least kind of passed across his desk and he allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. But when he allows it to happen, he also offers us the grace and his withness to be able to walk through it if only we'll turn to him and realize his withness realize that he is with us.
So good. I was going to say, and walk through it a different person. That's the thing, is all the fires that we walk through, it consumes our foes and it consumes our flesh. If we dare to trust him, somehow, some way, we come through those fires without smelling like smoke, and the enemy has less real estate, and God has more in our lives. There's just an increased capacity for his presence, because it's in the suffering places where we encounter him. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to suffer, but we are behind enemy lines. And so I think that, the fact that he offers life, if we could understand that our best life is heaven when we see Jesus, and the enemy is put where he's supposed to be put. But in this place, God, you know, David, the psalmist said, I will see the goodness. I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I think that what's amazing about that is he does. In fact, there's a quote here. Our trials, this is from my book. I'm quoting myself. How annoying is that? But I just want to hear that. I want you to hear this. Our trials train us. Our mistakes humble us. Our dreams encourage us. He's with us, intimately so, every step of the way. We get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. Grace is not a license to sin. It's the power to become who God created us to be. So as we talk about life in this book on page 114, I've bulleted a bunch of prayers because I want God's people to get a little feisty here. I don't want us to get so battered by the storms that we're just bracing for impact, biding our time, hoping we can hang on till Jesus returns. And I don't want us to be more focused on the enemy, constantly looking for the demon behind every bush. The enemy knows his time is short, so he is working. He is working over time, as they say. But we have Jesus. Overwhelming victory belongs to us. And in fact, he's given us authority over the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19. So I'm just going to read a few of these as examples. In fact, you have the book in front of you, Angie.
I do. Mm-hmm.
I'll read a few and you can read a few that just stand out to you. But I want to give these to you as just some kind of weaponry to get a little bold, get a little feisty, to put your foot on the ground and cry out to God, because you are on biblical ground to pray these kinds of prayers. And I give a reference, scripture reference to all of them. Jesus, rescue me from my enemy who's too powerful for me. Set my feet on solid ground and put a new song in my heart. Heal my soul and make me whole. Heal my body that I might serve you with robust health and strength. Jesus, I'm done being bullied by my fears. Awaken me to faith. Help me to live with power, love, and sound mind. I refuse to accept insomnia as a way of life. You grant sleep to those you love, and I know you love me. I'll read one more and then hand it to you, Angie. Jesus, I reject insecurity. I embrace my God-given identity. You made a masterpiece when you made me and created me for a distinct purpose. I'm an original. Open my eyes to see what you see, to do what you want me to do.
I'm going to read that one again just because I need to hear myself say
that. Let's do it, babe.
Jesus, I reject insecurity and embrace my God-given identity. You made a masterpiece when you made me and created me for a distinct purpose. I am original. Open my eyes to see what you see and do what you want to do. Jesus, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow right now, but you promised to be with me, to prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Nothing can separate me from your love. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I believe you'll supply all my needs according to your riches, not mine. Jesus, I'm... Oh, now you're getting up in my business, Susie. Jesus, I am done striving in my own strength. I want to encounter you, your power, and your provision in my life. Jesus, I have a dream for my family that will be actively engaged in your kingdom and enjoy rich fellowship together, work wonders in and through us. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, I'm burdened for our world today. I want your good news to upstage the bad news. I'm asking you to cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. I want to dwell in the land and feed on your faithfulness. I want to reflect your heart to a desperate world in need. I want to lay hands on the sick so they recover. I want to preach the word with power. If you don't know what belongs to you because Jesus sacrificed so much for you, you won't know that what the enemy has stolen from you because of his greed. It's time for us to picture a healed us. It's time for us to get a little grit in our growl, get that holy roar back, because Jesus won a sound victory for us. And I fear we put up with too much from this enemy. He steals so much, and we live with so much loss. Some things can't be restored till the other side, but we need to come up swinging. We need to stand up and say, enough already. Enough with the thievery. I belong to the Most High God. Mm-hmm. He will redeem and restore what the enemy's stolen. When we come back, we're going to talk about those silent seasons. What do you do when God seems silent? Is it ever your fault? Is it the enemy's fault? What's the difference between a test and an attack? More with my friend Angie Smith when we return.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Susie Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, well, I just saved you lots of time.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're drawing from my book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? Well, he's closer than your next breath. All four Wednesdays of this month, we're drawing. So this is week number 3. Next week will be our last week. Angie Smith, my producer, and I are just walking through the content. And right now, I want to talk about when God sometimes seems silent. Author Kevin Butcher wrote this: one day, we won't need to trust his love any longer because we'll be in the presence of our one great love. After endless years of trying to see him through the haze and mystery of life's unanswerable questions, we'll finally see him as he always has seen us, face to face. On that day, suffering, tears, death, and mystery itself will be no more. The long journey will be over. At last, sons and daughters of God will be home. Oh, I love that. Angie, give me your thoughts on silent seasons, and then I'll give you a few of mine.
I really appreciated what you talked about in the book with them. I was having, you know, I said this earlier, when I was thinking about God's silence, I kept coming back to me being silent with him, and that that he is always with me. He is always present with me, whether or not I am fully aware of that, or I'm leaning into that, or I'm paying any attention to him. And you talked about how you've had, you know, you went through a silent season, and you've had similar seasons that, but they now no longer shake you like the first one did, because you know God's not going anywhere. He's promised to get me safely home, you said. And it reminded me of when I started running, and I kept saying, I can't, you know, I can't. Oh, I'm not a runner. I can't run. You want me to run 90 seconds? I can't run 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I did it. And then I ran a 5K, and then I trained and I ran a marathon. And so I can't, and I'm not, I haven't been running lately, but I can no longer say that I cannot do it, because I've done it, I've experienced it, and I have proof that I can do it. And I feel like in our relationship with God, when we go through silent seasons, when we go through times of trial, and he shows up, you know, even if it's after a silent time, we see him work that thing in a way that we never could have imagined him to work that thing. The next time we have a trial, we don't as easily fall back on any of the lies of he's not there, he's not going to come through, he's not going to do this, because I can't say that because I saw him do it. I saw him come through. I saw him make good. I saw him give me the opportunity to come alongside somebody who's experiencing a miscarriage in a way that I wouldn't have been able to had I not experienced my own. And so I can no longer say that he's not at work or that he's not good, because I've had this past experience. And so I can, I rest back on those, you know, at the Old Testament, the Israelites would raise a stone and call it an Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance. I have those stones of remembrance from my own life now and my own experience, where my experience finally matches what scripture, what he has always been saying about himself.
Yeah. And that happens in due time. You have these full circle moments. And one of the things that you got to ask ourselves, is it ever our fault? And the reason I put it that way is people have asked that. But I will tell you, my first line of defense always, when I'm walking through a season where the heavens seem shut up, you know, quiet, and I'm not hearing anything, is I'll start with me. And we've talked a bit about this on past shows together, but Psalm 139 is my go-to prayer. Search me, O God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me in your everlasting way. Because at times we'll say God's not speaking, when in truth we're not listening. And that's just the hard truth. There's times we get overcommitted, we get busy, we're harboring sin, grudges, your supreme authority, whatever. There's duplicit stuff happening that muddies the water and clogs our hearing. I would also say ingratitude plugs up our ears and dims our view of God, where gratitude opens the eyes of our heart and fine-tunes our hearing. So I always start with me. If I feel like, oh, wait a minute, has something happened? When I find something, it's I'm the one who's drifted. So I, as Maria says, our friend Maria says, if God shows you something, repent and then roar. And if he doesn't show you anything, you just roar, because you remember who you are. So let's just say you've cleared the field of all your stuff and you really are sincerely walking with God, fearing him, honoring him. There's not a duplicit, you know, situation going on in your life where you're saying one thing and living another. You really are someone who's serious about faith, and suddenly God seems to be quiet, and it might even feel like a dark night of the soul. Sometimes it's a silent season. Sometimes it goes deeper into what people call a dark night of the soul. And as Angie's saying, when you have a history with God, it helps you to know you have a future with God. And I sure did panic as a young person walking through that, because I had enough trial and trauma to just, my footing was so shaken, wondering, did God change his mind about me? But as I told my boys when they were young, you know, if you want to hear God speak, open his word. It's like opening up his mouth. And so if you can't hear what he's saying, remember what he said. Go to the word, because his word is still living and breathing. You might not get the ooey-gooey feelings or the senses, because I do believe there are seasons that God weans us off of the emotion and the need to feel gooey all the time. I love emotion. I mean, I love sensing his presence. I don't know if you've ever had this, Angie, but I love Holy Spirit goosebumps. Mm-hmm, have you ever had that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear sure a song have. Or somebody yep. says something and it's like, oh, I love it. I mean, I cannot wait for the sensory explosion of seeing Jesus face to face in all of his glory. I mean, the fact that all creation groans for that day. There's something coming we can't even fathom, and our senses will explode. I'm so excited. But we live, again, behind enemy lines, and we cannot be so reliant on feelings and emotions and senses all the time. There's times when God's training us up for battle that, you know, you think about warriors. They're trained to walk on high places. They're trained to stay disciplined, on task, thinking as one, as a team, for a, you know, a common initiative or goal. They're not distracted looking to the left or right, being offended by this and wondering about that. They're trained for their mission, and that's where they go. And God trains us at times to be able to trust his promises even when they don't feel true, to trust his presence even when it doesn't seem true. And we can't mature if we're only always hooked on our emotions. So I would say, if you're walking through a silent season and you really have searched your heart and God's not showing you anything, trust his love. And if you keep a journal, I'd highly recommend it. Go back and look at some of the prophetic promises and the words that he's spoken to you. Rehearse and remember. Worship. Don't isolate. Call some friends. Be careful not to get into a victim mindset, because you're actually being trained for greatness. You know, God is training you in to the things that he wants to teach you. And in that chapter, I make the distinction between a test and an attack. And my son Luke gave me permission to share this story, but he had left his full-time job, wanted to start a contractor's business, and he started out doing cabinets and different things, but he thought, I want to be a general contractor and do basements and kitchens and things like that. But he needed a license to have subcontractors and do home remodels. And so he studied and studied and studied. And I got to tell you, watching him take these practice tests, get things wrong, go search, why did I get that wrong? What do I need to know? And go back and do it again. I mean, after all these years of being out of school, he applied himself and applied himself. And I think he got something like a 95, 97%. He passed excellently. And he was so happy because he just kept telling himself, God has led me to this. He's going to see me through it. I can do this. And he did it. But then shortly thereafter, he ate something with gluten, which is not friendly to him. He got a really bad gut. He didn't sleep several nights in a row. He got a foggy brain, which it does to you. And this is so typical of the enemy. At the same time, on social media, he sees a number of guys who are killing it, you know, who look healthy, who are further down the road in their business, similar business to his. And all of a sudden, all the lies of insufficiency come in. You're never going to do this. I don't know why you even started. So I'm going to give you a bulleted list and then have you speak to this, Angie. But test is what, this is how I identify some defining factors of a test. You're stretched and challenged. But if you keep your wits about you, you'll know that you'll have what you need to endure and overcome, much like what Angie just said. You're called to up your game and learn new ways of applying what you know. You're called to learn new things, like Angie was when she came to this job. You're invited to trust God on a whole new level, much like you did, Angie, when you came to this job. You're tempted to take your eyes off of God and put them on a storm when opposition comes and distractions come and stress comes.
Which Angie also did when she started this job.
I never saw it, but it's all right. Tempted to find a way out of the test because it's uncomfortable. God doesn't tempt anyone, but he does allow us to be tested. He tests us to show us what's in us. And when you're being tested, when some of the props are pulled out and you've got to rely on what God has taught you, there'll be a temptation to find a way out of the test because it's uncomfortable. That temptation is not from God. The test is from God, not the temptation. When you trust God and you walk intimately with him through the test, you will supernaturally find a context for the test, which will help you prevail. Now, here's the attack. You endure some physical attack or ailment that weakens you in your resolve. You, quote unquote, coincidentally stumble upon stories of others who thrive where you do not and have what you long for. You're reminded of all the pain and suffering you've endured thus far. You're only seconds away from discouragement and despair. You may lose your will to fight. You feel exhausted, and you can't see the forest for the trees. You lose sight of what's true. Just got a moment, but any thoughts there, Angie?
Scarcity mindset is what kept coming up for me when you were reading that list, that it's important to remember all that's available to us that we were talking about earlier, that we don't need to have a scarcity mindset because God has gone before us. He's going to be our rear guard. And he has a plan for us. And so instead of having a scarcity mindset, have an abundance mindset of what God is doing. Even when that doesn't feel true, remind yourself of that.
So good. And think about that. In a test, in a silent season, how countercultural, counterintuitive it is to embrace an abundant mindset, not a scarcity mindset. See, that is training time for reigning time. That is thinking like an heir. He's still worthy of your praise. He's still an abundantly generous God. You're still a profoundly loved soul. So if he has you in that season, he's training you for something, and he wants you to trust him, even when your feelings or your circumstances don't support the truth of God's word. His presence changes everything. Angie, I love you so much, and I thank you for the time today. What a great conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We got a few copies we're giving away today, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Also, two copies of the audiobook. You can text book for all of them to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I sure pray that you found some encouragement today. We love you. We're walking this journey with you. We're being honest and real because we're in it together, and we've got a Savior who loves us. Be blessed, be at rest, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.